Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
We will read the psalm together in unison. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. The cords of death entangled me. The grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me. Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well. For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus went on with his disciple to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and to be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your minds not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From the time that I was 5 years old and I was cast as the lead in the kindergarten play, to the moment when I graduated from college with a Bachelor's of Fine Arts in Theater Performance, I knew that I was an actor. And so I did what every self-respecting actor would do at that moment in my life. I moved to Hollywood, California. And so I moved to Los Angeles, got a crummy job to pay the bills, began stepping my feet into the acting world, but I also began attending an Episcopal church and volunteering for their youth ministry there. And after a couple years of grinding it away to pay the bills and getting into the acting world, but also falling more in love with youth ministry, getting deeper and deeper into that world, I felt God calling me to something more, something different. And I was confused because for 20-some years, I knew I was an actor. But there came a moment A moment of clarity, if you will, in which I realized that I had to lose my life to save my life. I had to let go of my identity as an actor and step into the fullness of who God was inviting me to as a minister. And that moment led to several moments, which leads me to this moment with you today. The ending of our gospel today is really Jesus' poetic invitation to enter into our fullest selves, to enter into who we truly are. Let me read it to you. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Jesus is inviting us into our true selves, which is a life resounding with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness. But in order to enter into this life, we have to let go of anything less, anything that is trivial, anything that ultimately will lead us to nothing. There is a vein of modern theology. In its addressing of the human condition, it says that our issue as humans is not that we are broken. We are not broken. Brokenness is not our issue. Our issue is disintegration. We are disintegrated from God and God's purpose and God's call in our lives. And they call this disintegration the sin of triviality. So while our lives may be full, they may be active, they may be exhausting, we're like an engine with no timing belt. We're revving up as fast as we can go, but we're not getting anywhere. And what's really interesting is that there is an ancient theology that this modern theology reflects. Saint Athanasius in the 3rd century, so 250 AD, in addressing the reasons why Jesus became human, wrote a paper called On the Incarnation. And in it, he explains that Jesus came not to save us from hell and eternal damnation. Jesus came to save us from nothingness. You see, in the beginning of Genesis, it tells us that before there was anything, there was nothing. A vast void and emptiness. And out of this void and emptiness, God created everything, including you and me. Well, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the apple, they began on a path of disintegration that would ultimately return them to nothingness. So we were created out of nothing, and rather than going to hell and being tormented, we would simply return to nothingness. And this is why Jesus came to save us. So one of the dangers of our lives today is that we can find ourselves in patterns and lifestyles that are trivial, that lead to nothing. And we could spend our whole lives there. Now, my life as an actor is probably not the best example of a life of triviality, although there were aspects of it. But I can tell you that had I followed that path even a couple more years, I would doubt I would be here with you today. So let me give you some very clear examples of the sin of triviality, and then we'll go a bit deeper. The easy ones are the lifestyles of active drug or alcohol addiction. For those of us who either are or know someone we love who's been in active addiction, we know that that is a life that is exhausting, consuming, takes everything we have and yet leads to nothing. In fact, nothing is a nice way to put it. It leads to emptiness. It leads to sorrow. So this is an extreme example of how we can live our lives trivially to nothingness. But there are some ways of living into nothingness that our society, the kingdom of the world, actually celebrates. Workaholism, where we grind away to define ourselves by what we do or what we succeed at doing. Consumerism, we are what we buy or what we borrow to buy. We are the things we own. And then there's the life of the ego, of an obsession of status and prestige, where we define ourselves by the attention, the worship, and the respect we receive from others. These, the kingdom of the world says, will lead to everything. But in the kingdom of God, they lead to nothing. And then there's some really deep ways that we can live trivial lives that lead to nothing. And these are subtle, pervasive. The life of resentment, where we always live in the shadow of disappointment, where no thing, no experience, no one is ever good enough. And so we live our lives disconnected because we are never satisfied. There is the life of ridicule, the constant belittling that denies another's humanity. Now, this could be on a grand scale, like sexism or racism, where we deny not only an individual's humanity, but the humanity of an entire people. Or this can be the subtle name-calling that we do to people, either out loud or in our minds. It can be the gossip circles that we enter into, where we ridicule and make fun of people. This too disintegrates us from our neighbor and thus God. So what do we do? Because all of us, because we are human, have areas in our lives that are leading to nothing, that we want to live into the fullness of possibility. And here's where the beginning of our gospel helps. Peter recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. He is the first person to do so. And when he does, when Peter recognizes Jesus' fullness, he enters into his own fullness. He is integrated with God. But then Jesus goes on to say that the Messiah must suffer and die, and Peter gets a little scared. So he disintegrates himself. And he goes to rebuke Jesus, to tell him this can't happen. But Jesus sort of pushes him away and looks to the other disciples so they all can hear and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you focus not on divine things, but on human things. Get behind me." The Greek word that is translated here as that phrase is the same word that Jesus uses in the beginning of the gospel near the Sea of Galilee when he says to his disciples, "Follow me. Follow me. Get behind me." It's the same word. There's a difference of nuance and intention. But ultimately, what Jesus is saying here to Peter, to the disciples, to us, is follow me, integrate with me, for you focus not on the fullness of things, the divineness of things, but on the triviality of things, the humanness of things. It's a rebuke, it's a rebuke, it's a reminder, it's an invitation to align ourselves with who's really in charge and follow him. We all have areas where our lives are spinning and we feel like we are getting nowhere. The invitation is to follow Jesus through prayer, worship, study, service, Sabbath, friendship, and many other practices. Jesus will lead us. He will save our lives by teaching us how to live into them. It's an invitation to follow him out of nothingness, out of trivialness, and into our fullest selves.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we live in a frightening world. You promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear us now as we pray to you. For the peace of the whole world, that nations and peoples may come to understand and respect one another. We pray especially for an end to the violence in the Middle East and on the streets of our own cities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the poor, the sick, the lonely, and those who are grieving, that they may find comfort and solace in your presence, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need.
Nancy, for refugees.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this community, that we may boldly serve you without fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the city of Jacksonville, that your Holy Spirit may inspire us to revitalize the urban core. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the earth, that we may use its fruits to your glory and for the good of all creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who have died, that they may see you face to face. We remember especially Lewis Guthrie. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Don, Jonathan, Jude, Diana, Ed, John, Tess, Craig.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the courage to face our own limitations, faults, and failings, and for the gift of your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Father in heaven, give us courage to let go of our lives of triviality and to look to the fullness of who you call us to be. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're new in our congregation and would like more information about the cathedral, please raise your hand so a greeter can give you an information bag. But you need to hold your hand up, up, up so they can find you. Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here today. Join us after this service in Tolliver Hall for a presentation and lunch, beautiful free lunch. The presentation is by Earl Evans, who is the executive director of the Baptist Age Well Institute. He's going to talk about how to age gracefully, beautifully, intentionally. So join us for lunch after church in Tolliver Hall for that good presentation. We do have our prayer lists available for those of you who like to take them home and pray for our parishioners. You can find a copy out in the hallway or in the back of the cathedral. We are still looking for people to bring things for coffee hour. If you will be a coffee hour angel, there is a sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall. We are so blessed to have you doing this. Wonderful Wednesday classes have begun, and there's a whole variety of programs for children and adults, so see your bulletin for that. And on next Tuesday, our Boy Scout troop is going to have their Court of Honor and dinner. That's also in your bulletin. I want you to listen carefully during communion today, because you're going to hear our beautiful bells, and then you won't hear them until Christmas Eve again. We are going to have to go on a bell fast. Our bells have grown old and rusted, and they've become a danger to us. So we have already raised the money, and we are going to take the entire frame off with a huge crane on Thursday. So if you want to come see a spectacle, you can. We're going to lift them off of the church, bring them onto the ground, and then begin a process of restoring those bells. We hope and pray that they will be restored by Christmas Eve. So listen carefully today, because we won't hear them again for quite a while. Many of you have heard of the new shepherding program that we have. Every single one of you has a shepherd, which is a layperson who you can call with any need for food, or if you're in the hospital, or if you just want prayers or someone to talk to. Are there any shepherds in the congregation? Would you raise your hand if you're a shepherd? Shepherds, I want to bless you. Could you come up? Come on up, shepherds. Now, if you don't know who your shepherd is, you can call the church and we'll give you their name and number, and they want you to call them with any need that you have. Okay? This is another way for the church to take care of itself. So be sure that you know who your shepherd is. Come on up, shepherds. Let's all stand around me. Come closer. Come closer. All right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you yourself were the great shepherd, and you call us all to serve others. I ask your blessing upon these individuals who have made themselves available to this community. Give them wisdom and strength and patience. Bless them and keep them, that they may pour out themselves in service to this community in your name. And I ask your blessing upon them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, shepherds, for your service. Thank you, thank you. Let's give them a round of thank you. Remember to be generous with your church, as our Lord has been so generous with us. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who for our sake lived and died and rose again, you have given us, your sons and daughters, in our living and in our dying, the hope and promise of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Peter, John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.